Please turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9. And with God's word open before us at this portion of scripture, we're going to bow in a word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's truth tonight. This evening I want to preach upon the subject, the praying of Moses. Now, we have made mention of Moses at prayer in these studies already, but tonight we want to take this as a subject, and I pray that the Lord will bless this word to all of our hearts. The word tonight is for God's people, those of us who are saved and born again of the Spirit of God. If you're not saved, then I pray that you will come and pray the sinner's prayer. That's the prayer you need to pray tonight. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Wash sin away. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. You need to cry for mercy. You need to pray that the Lord will save your precious soul. And thank God, if you do, the Lord will save you. For he has promised that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But we want to deal with the praying of Moses tonight, and we want to apply it to the hearts of God's people. So let us pray and ask the Lord for his help just before we consider God's truth this evening. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word. And O God, we do pray now as we read thy word that you would come and speak to our hearts. And we pray, O God, that a lasting work might be done in all of our souls this evening. We pray for that word in season. O God, we're conscious that we could get up in this pulpit and we could preach a sermon. But O God, we just don't want to preach a sermon. We want to hear the word of the Lord to our hearts and to our souls. And O God, we pray tonight that we might receive it as such. We thank thee, O God, that thy word is truth. And thy word is everlasting. And thy word is our only rule of faith and practice. In this day in which we live, and it has always been the case down through the centuries, we thank thee, Lord, that you have given us the word of God. Lord, help us to live according to it, and help us to obey it, and help us, Lord, to live in the light of what it teaches. And O God, we do pray that you would come therefore tonight and speak to our hearts. We thank thee for each one here that is saved. We thank thee for that day when you redeemed us by your precious blood. Lord, we're heaven bound, and we thank thee for that. And we thank thee that the Lord Jesus is our Savior, and he is our Redeemer. He is our rock. And O God, we thank thee tonight that he has given unto us eternal life, and we shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck us out of your hand. O God, in these days, we pray that you'll help us to live for thee. And O God, we pray most of all in these days that you would teach us how to pray. Teach us how to intercede on the behalf of others. Help us, Lord, in these days to spend much time around thy throne of grace. We pray now that you'll bless your truth to our hearts. For in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 18. And I fell down before the Lord. That's what Moses said. As at the first, 40 days and 40 nights, I did neither eat bread nor drink water, because of all your sins which ye sinned. Now he's talking here about God's people. I want you to underline that, child of God. He's not talking about the sins of the heathen. He's not talking about the sins of the wicked nations all around Israel. He's talking here about the sins of God's people. It's so important to notice that. Sometimes we read scripture and we miss so much truth. Well, don't miss this truth. When Moses comes to pray here, he's coming to pray because of the sin of God's people. And I fell down before the Lord, as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins which ye sinned, in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure, wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you, because the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also the same time. And I took your sin, the calf which ye had made, and burnt it with fire, and stamped it, and ground it very small, even until it was as small as dust. And I cast the dust thereof into the brook that descended out of the mount. Look at verse 25. Thus I fell down before the Lord, 40 days and 40 nights, as I fell down at the first, because the Lord had said he would destroy you. I prayed, therefore, unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember thy servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look not unto the stubbornness of this people, nor to their wickedness, nor to their sin, lest the land whence thou broughtest us out say, because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he hath brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. Yet they are thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest out by thy mighty power and by thy stretched out arm. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Down through the history of the church, there has been many great men and women of prayer. Men like Elijah and Elisha and Samuel and Daniel, and women like Hannah. But none more so than the prophet Moses. Moses, I believe, must go down as one of the greatest prayer warriors that we have recorded in the Bible. He was one of the greatest intercessors that the children of Israel ever had. King David testified to this in Psalm 106 and verse 23. A text of scripture that you should underline in your Bible. Here's what the psalmist says about Moses. Moses, his chosen, sought before him in the breach. Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. The particular incident that David is referring to is the time when the children of Israel rebelled against God. We read of this incident in Deuteronomy chapter 9, and we have read some of those verses tonight. Moses had gone up to the top of Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. But as he tarried on the mountain, the Israelites became impatient, and they made a golden calf and began to worship this golden calf. And because of this sin, God was going to destroy the nation of Israel. And we'll say more about that in a moment. But we are told that Moses at this time prayed and interceded on their behalf, pleading with God to have mercy on them. And the Bible tells us that the Lord hearkened unto Moses, and he spurred the nation of Israel, he spurred the children of Israel at that time. Moses was a man who received, therefore, positive answers to his prayers. Why? Why did God answer the prayers of Moses? Well, that's what we want to find out tonight, as we come to consider the praying of Moses. Child of God, if there's a day and age when the church needs men and women of prayer, it is this day and age in which we live. If there's a day and age when our land and our nation needs men and women of prayer, then it is this day and age in which we are living. We're living in sinful days. And how we need godly men and women to intercede on the behalf of others. You see, that's what Moses here is doing. He's interceding on the behalf of the children of Israel. And the wonderful truth that is brought out here from this passage of Scripture is this, that God heard the prayer of Moses. And God answered the prayer of Moses in a most wonderful and unique way. God still answers prayer. And thank God we should never forget that. Although we're living in this 21st century when the tide is out and when there's no sign of revival, let us never forget that God is still upon the throne and that the God of heaven still answers prayer. And he still longs to hear the cries of his people. What do we learn here about the praying of Moses as he interceded for the children of Israel at this time? Well, we notice a number of things. First of all, I want you to notice the posture of his praying, the manner of his praying, how Moses came before the Lord. You'll notice there in verse 18 that Moses said, "I fell down before the Lord." And in verse 25, we read again, "Thus I fell down before the Lord." The posture of Moses when he comes into the presence of God, I believe, demonstrates great earnestness and fervency. In other words, Moses meant business with God. When Moses fell down before God, it was not just formality, it was not just show, but he was displaying to the Lord his earnest feeling for the thing that he was praying for. Moses was in earnest here. And he recognized that in order to get the ear of God, he had to fall into the dust before the Lord. Posture in prayer is a very interesting study. But surely the fact that Moses fell upon his face before God shows us clearly his earnestness in prayer before the Lord. Moses knew that the situation was serious, and the situation was serious because the truth of the matter was this: God was going to wipe Israel off the face of the map. Thus, Moses moves into action and sought the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his mind. That familiar text comes to mind in James 5 verse 16. "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Now, can you see this great man of God getting before the Lord? He's falling on his face before the mighty God of heaven because he realizes that he needs the ear of God. He recognizes that the situation is serious. And with great fervency, he begins to pray and cry unto God. But you know, the fact that Moses fell down before God not only shows us his fervency and earnestness, I believe, but it also shows us his humility. There was no pride in Moses. He was not a man who was lifted up with self-esteem. The fact that he fell to the dust before God shows to us his humility. He recognizes here that he is only but a sinner saved by grace. He recognizes the majesty of God. He recognizes that he is only the creature. And coming before the Lord in this serious situation that the nation was facing, he falls before the Lord in the dust, the Bible tells us, in humiliation. Matthew 23 verse 12 says, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Peter said in his epistle, 1 Peter 5 verse 6, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." And you will notice in verse 18 that when he fell before the Lord, that so earnest was he that he fasted. Look what it says. "And I fell before the Lord," as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. "I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins which ye sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger." Such was the serious situation that Moses found himself in here. That as he gets before the Lord to pray for the nation of Israel and for the people of God, that he foregoes bread and water. He fasts. You see, at this time, Moses recognized that unless he got the ear of God, all hope for Israel's survival was over. That's how serious the matter was. You know, child of God, you and I need to pray like this. I confess, and I confess to you tonight, that I know very little of this type of praying. I know very little of this type of praying. Of getting down before the Lord in the dust, humbling myself in this way, forgoing food and water. Oh, I pray tonight that the Lord would so burden our hearts that we might begin to pray like this. We think of our loved ones unsaved. We think of them on the verge of hell. We think of our neighbors, no interest whatsoever in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we ever so burdened for them that we get down before the Lord in such a manner to pray in fervency and in earnestness and humility that the Lord might save them? Oh, we pray that the Lord saves them. And we shoot up a prayer before we go to bed at night, and we come to the prayer meeting and we pray, and that's good. But oh, child of God, how we need to learn tonight, and how I need to learn tonight, that if we are going to get answers to our prayers the way that Moses got answers to his prayers, we need that fervency in our coming before the throne of grace in prayer, recognizing who God is and recognizing who we are, because God is almighty and we are but sinners. But thank God we have this throne of grace. And thank God we have this wonderful privilege and this wonderful opportunity that we can come before the throne of grace in such a way. Oh, may the Lord teach us tonight how to pray. How to pray. Now, I'm sure you noticed in verse 18 the persistency of his praying. I suppose this goes without saying, because when you study all the great prayers in the Bible, this simple but this wonderful truth always comes out. Notice what Moses says here. "And I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. Look at verse 25. Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. It took a long time for Moses to turn away God's wrath. The Bible says here that he prayed and fasted 40 days and 40 nights before he could obtain pardon for the children of Israel. Moses, and this is an interesting fact, I'm sure you know it, but for those who don't, let me reveal it to you. Moses was willing to spend time in fervent prayer. He was willing to abstain from food. Yea, he was even willing to die for the people. Did you know that? Moses was willing to give up his life so that the nation of Israel at this time would be spared. Now you just think about that for a moment. Turn over, keep your hand in Numbers chapter 9 and turn over just for a moment to Exodus chapter 32. And you'll read these words. Look at verse 32. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, here's Moses interceding on the behalf of the people. And remember, the people have committed a great sin. They have made this golden calf, they have fallen down and worshipped it. If thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, if you're not going to forgive their sin, Lord, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Well, here was a man who was willing to give up his life so that the nation of Israel and God's people would be spared and forgiven. My friend, I couldn't even begin to contemplate the depth of that petition that Moses offered there. I couldn't even begin to delve into it. And neither could you. But here we have a man of God, and such is his burden for the people of God, to see them forgiven, to see God be merciful to them, to see God spur the nation, that he recognizes that the nation of God, that the people of God are more important than him. That God's testimony and God's honor is more important than him. And we're going to say more about that just in a moment. You see, Moses, as he interceded, he continually persisted that God would have mercy upon the nation of Israel. You know, many may have said, give up, Moses. Your praying is in vain. But you know, Moses pleaded on. He would not let go. He was persistent. He prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. Child of God, our families need us to hold on to the throne of grace, especially those who are not saved. We need to pray for them. We need to seek God's face for them in earnest prayer. And we need not give up. It's so easy to give up around the throne of grace. We get discouraged. And it's so easy in the work of God to get discouraged. And when the tide is out and no one's getting saved, and the more you preach, the harder people seem to be. And the more you witness, the less they want to hear the message of the gospel. And when you go to the door and give them the invitation, sometimes they throw it back in your face. And there seems to be this resistance. But listen, that's the time when you and I must continue to pray and to seek the face of God for the work of God and for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth of the matter is, you and I find it hard to hold on to God. And we find it hard to pray. And we find it hard to spend time in prayer. We find it hard to persist. But oh, surely, if there's one prayer we need to pray tonight, it's this: Lord, make me persistent around the throne of grace. Give me that desire to keep at it to pray on, to pray through. You know, years ago, you used to hear about the old saints of God. They used to talk about praying through. But you know, the truth is that this generation, and I have to identify myself with that, our generation, we know very little about praying through. We know very little about holding on to God until the answer comes. But here we have an example tonight. Here we have one set before us in the Bible who teaches us and shows us the value of persistent praying and holding on to God. 40 days and 40 nights. He prayed before the answer came. It's quite remarkable, isn't it? It's quite unique. This man, Moses, and remember this, he was just like the rest of us, a sinner saved by grace. Oh yes, God's calling was in his life and God's anointing was upon him. Of that there is no doubt. But he was just flesh and blood. And child of God, you and I can pray like this. That's the truth that I want you to get a hold of tonight. If you get a hold of no other truth this evening, get a hold of this truth that you and I can pray like this if we're determined to go through with God. If we're determined to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, the Lord Jesus taught His disciples to be persistent in prayer. Turn over just for a moment to Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. And look with me there at a very familiar passage of Scripture. Verse 5, you read these words. And He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey to come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, his persistency, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. There's the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not a promise to the great men only and to the great women only. It's not a promise to the minister, to the missionary only. It's not a promise to the elders only. It is a promise to all of God's people. Oh, what truth we have here concerning the persistency of prayer, waiting around the throne of grace. And of course, we're all familiar with Acts chapter 12, when Peter was brought into prison, and when the church met to pray for Peter. Just let me read you the verse, because I know you know it so well. Acts 12, verse 5, it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. It's an interesting study to study that little phrase, without ceasing. They prayed without ceasing. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him, and we know the outcome. We know the outcome of that prayer meeting. Oh, let us not lose faith in prayer, child of God. Let us not give up around the throne of grace. In your home, pray daily. In your home, seek the face of the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. Get into the secret closet and shut the door. And your Father who hears in secret will reward thee openly. Of that there is no doubt. But you can see here how Moses persisted in prayer. Don't give up. That's what the devil wants us to do. The devil wants us to give up. The devil wants us to throw in the towel. The devil wants us to be a defeated people. Well, I refuse to be a defeated Christian. I refuse to be a defeated Christian. I refuse to listen to the lie of the devil. No matter how hard times are, no matter how difficult the work of God is, and may become in the days that lie ahead, I refuse to be discouraged. Because I know that the God of Moses is still the same God today. And he still answers prayer. And he still answers my prayers. And child of God, he still answers your prayers. So whatever you're praying for, that loved one, that friend, that problem that you have, that situation, keep praying on. If it takes 40 days and 40 nights, then so be it. If it takes 40 years, so be it. But don't lose heart and don't give up. I want to encourage your heart tonight. I want you to see how the Lord was merciful to a nation because of the prayers of one man. Now, there's something else I want you to notice, and I believe this is very, very important. Turn again to Deuteronomy and the chapter 9. I want you to notice the purpose of his praying. The purpose of his praying. Why did Moses pray? Well, we know what drove him to prayer initially because of the sin of the children of Israel. The children of Israel at this time were very wicked. They had openly broken God's commandments. Because of this, the wrath of God was abiding upon them. But Moses prayed for them. This was the one needful thing that Israel needed at this time, someone to intercede on their behalf. But ultimately, why did Moses pray? What was the purpose of his praying? Well, if you take a look at verse 26 and 28, you will see that there was a twofold purpose. First of all, the preservation of God's people. Look at verse 26. I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, Lord God, destroy not this people, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. He was praying here that God would preserve his church, that God would preserve the witness of his people. My friend, that ought to be the motive of our praying. All of our praying. That God would preserve his work and his church and his testimony in this country of ours. Oh, this wee country of ours going down the tube very quickly, you know. Sin is abounding on every hand. And the Church of Jesus Christ is weak. We are weak. And with the way things are going, it seems as if we're going to get weaker. We need to pray. We need to intercede before God that the Lord preserves the testimony of the church. That the Lord raises up more preachers to preach his word and more missionaries to go forth and Christians who will live as shining testimonies for the glory of God. That the Lord will send us revival. And let me tell you something. The Lord will preserve his church. Because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And although the light of the church may be dim at this present moment in this country of ours, and it is dim, it is not out. And it will not go out. Because God will preserve his work. But child of God, when we get down to pray, let us pray that God would preserve his inheritance. And that God would bless his work again in this nation of ours. Look at verse 28. He prayed for the glory of God. Well, that was his purpose. It says, lest the land which thou broughtest us out say, because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he hath brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. Oh, Moses here. He's praying for the glory of God. And of course that ought to be our purpose in praying, in living, in everything that we do, to bring glory and honor to the Lord. What is man's chief end but to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. You'll notice that Moses here, interceding on behalf of the children of Israel, is a type of Christ interceding on behalf of his church. Very important that we notice that. I want you to keep your hand in Deuteronomy 9, and I want you to turn over just for a moment to Numbers, or rather to Hebrews chapter 7. Now, we have been saying all along in these studies that Moses is a wonderful picture and type of Christ, and so he is. But as Moses intercedes on the behalf of the nation here before God, he's a wonderful type and picture of the Lord Jesus. What is the Lord Jesus doing just now? He's interceding on the behalf of his church. That's what he's doing in heaven. The Lord is praying for his people, praying for his work on earth. It's called the intercessory work of Christ. And the Lord died upon the cross and shed his blood and rose again. He ascended back up into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. What does it say? Ever living to make intercession for his people. My, this ought to encourage you, child of God. Look at verse 20 of Hebrews chapter 7. And in as much as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swore and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, speaking of Christ, underline it, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Isn't that tremendous? Christ ever liveth to make intercession for his people. Turn over to chapter 9 and you'll see this again of Hebrews. Look with me there at verse 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Isn't that wonderful? That the Lord Jesus Christ has entered into the heavenlies, and he is interceding on our behalf, ever living, to make intercession for his people. Look what it says in verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament. Oh, thank God there's one in the glory who is praying for us, interceding on our behalf. Oh, child of God, isn't it wonderful as we seek to serve the Lord down here upon earth that the Lord hasn't left us? Thank God his Spirit bear witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And thank God the Lord Jesus Christ, before he left this scene of time, he told his disciples that he was praying for them. Isn't that what he said to Peter before Peter denied him? I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Turn over just for a moment to John chapter 17. This is the great intercessory prayer of the Lord Jesus. And look with me there at John chapter 17 and verse 6. Here's what Jesus says. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou givest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. Underline it. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine. And thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. I pray for them. Well, thank God there's one in the glory who is praying for us. Oh, child of God, as we pray, as we seek to intercede on the behalf of others, as we seek to pray for our loved ones and for the church and for the work of God and for our country and for our nation, let us never forget that there's a higher than us who is praying. And that is the blessed Son of God. Time's away. But just let me finish by saying this. I want you to notice the prevailing of Moses in prayer. Moses got an answer to his prayer. Turn back again to Deuteronomy chapter 9. And look with me there at verse 19. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also. The Lord hearkened unto me. And you notice what Moses says there. Don't miss it. At that time also. In other words, there was another time when Moses prayed for them and the Lord showed mercy. Oh, this man not only got one answer to prayer, but this man received many answers to prayer. Child of God, answers to prayer encourages us to pray more. If you get an answer to prayer today, you'll be encouraged to pray for something else tomorrow. Oh, that's why we need to get answers to our prayers. And that's why we need to hold on to God until the answer comes. We need the Lord to give us the strength. And I pray in these days that the Lord will give us strength to hold on to the horns of the altar. Dear child of God, maybe you're praying for a loved one and your heart's broke. You're praying and you're praying and you're praying, and it seems the longer you pray, the harder your loved one seems to be. They have no interest in the things of God. Keep on praying. Keep on seeking the face of God, no matter how long it takes. Maybe you're praying for revival. Keep on praying for revival. Keep on praying. Because the Bible tells us that we are to seek the Lord while he may be found. And we're to call upon his name while he's near. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. And may the Lord encourage us not to give up in this day in which we live. Let us all pray.